can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schemann and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Schemann and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Thanks for joining us here on a Monday, 1 hour into books, three more to go. We're live and local from 2 to 6 right here on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Spent a lot of time in hour number one commiserating with Dolphins fans, looks like, no playoffs. Pete is in denial, thinking the Patriots are still going to the Super Bowl.
I think it's wide open.
Little denial.
No, not in denial at all.
Can you be a little bit in denial?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. We're going to circle back. We haven't even scratched the surface on the Eagles and Nick Foles and the Rams and what that game meant last night. And we'll talk about your favorite NFL team as well at 239-337-ESPN. But first, want to circle back to some college football here. You all know that we spend a lot of time on this show talking about college football rankings, the playoffs, who should be in, who shouldn't, and how Central Florida fits into all of that. And, of course, they are currently ranked 8th. We all know that they have to play better people non-conference. No question about it. Danny White is their athletic director. He is the one that proclaimed them the national champions last year. I'm curious to see if he's going to do it again if they win their bowl game. But the key is scheduling good people, good teams. And there's a deal that's on the table because, you know, athletic directors at public universities, their emails are not private. It's public. It's out there. And we have discovered that there have been emails back and forth between Central Florida and the University of Florida about a possible deal. Now, I know the Gators don't want to come to Orlando and whatnot, but I don't think that Danny White is in the driver's seat on this deal. You got to take this deal. You got to get the Florida Gators on your schedule.
Hey, I'll read you some of the tweets so everybody knows exactly what's going on here. So, again, the list of future dates during which the two schools might be able to begin a home-and-home series, including the season opener on September 3rd, 2022. Strickland emailed back after basically what it came down to is Strickland, the AD at UCF, said, yeah, we'll do a home-and-home. You could come two at our place, and we'll go to Orlando for one game.
A 2-1.
A 2-1, yeah. 2-1. A 2-1. Two at their place, one at your place in Orlando. And Danny White said no. He said no. And Strickland said, UF isn't in the market for home-and-home or a neutral site games against, I love this, non-autonomy 5 opponents. However, we would be open to a series similar to what we've agreed to with USF, 2 games in Gainesville, 1 in Orlando. We are in need of a home opener for the 2022 season, yeah. So the September 3rd, 2022 date you mentioned would be a perfect date to begin the series, and we can fill in the remaining games from there. So White then, in the report, seems to take umbrage with Strickland grouping UCF in with the, quote, non-autonomy 5 opponents and sent a lengthy email urging Strickland to help him change an unfair system. He says, you mentioned not playing at a neutral site contest versus a non-autonomy 5 opponent, but a UF versus UCF game held in our state would certainly be a sellout, which would be a positive for both of us financially. I think that our team has shown on the field that we are far from a typical non-autonomy 5 opponent. This is, you know what, measuring going on out there with him. I don't care if Florida said, we'll play you every year at our place the next 4 years in a row. You take it.
Take it.
You take it. You have to start somewhere. And now you get a deal like this on the table. Okay, 2 in Gainesville, probably the 2 first years in Gainesville, then 1 in Orlando. So,
not necessarily. I'm looking at the 2-1 that they have with USF in 2021. Mm-hmm. It is at USF.
Okay.
Then they play 2022 in Gainesville and 2025 in Gainesville. Although, so it's not even necessarily the first 2 at our place, then we'll get you on the back end.
Unbelievable. That even makes it more, it's even more palatable than
unless you take it. Unless Danny White has another better deal in the works that nobody knows about. You got to take this deal. You're not in position yet.
I don't understand it. I really don't. If it's all about ego, and you got to swallow your pride a little bit, where else are you going to begin? And what kind of message does this send? How many other ADs are he's going to get a call from in the Power 5 conferences to schedule? If he's not willing to And this, I think this is pretty generous, to be honest with you, from Strickland.
Yeah.
Pretty generous. This isn't even meeting him halfway. This is just like, hey, this is, we're throwing you a bone. We could ask for 3 straight years at our place. We don't owe you a dime. We don't owe you anything.
This checks all the boxes. It's an SEC school. It's a team that's always ranked.
It's
great always
for the state.
Good. It's great for the state of Florida. It'll be great for recruiting on both ends. Well, and heaven forbid if Central Florida comes up with a win, what it would do for their program.
What would have made it really great, because Strickland, the AD for Florida, was throwing around the September 3rd, 2022. That means 3 of the 4 non-conference opponents for Florida that year would have been UCF, USF, and Florida State.
Oh, that would have been great for
God
the state of Florida.
God forbid, want that.
But again, this is not Florida that put the kibosh on this. This is Danny White. This is UCF. And I don't want to go too far with this.
I do.
But is this a fireable offense?
I don't know what's fire, but it makes you, if you're the president, you got to start scratching.
Well, you got to start thinking about this. You're putting your school, your program at a clear-cut disadvantage. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee has come out and said, it's your strength of schedule, UCF. If you can fix that, there is nothing else for us to hold you out of this thing. And you've got a perfect opportunity to go out and schedule a premier opponent. It doesn't get bigger than Florida.
It doesn't. If you win on the road, it makes it even that much bigger.
It gets just as big as Florida. It does not get bigger than Florida.
Does he go back to his board of directors and kind of snow them a little bit and go, no, I'm holding for the best interest of Central Florida. They're trying to hoodwink us. Well, it's not fair for us to do 2-for-1. Are they drinking that Kool-Aid?
Oh, I think they are. Texas says, no, it's not Danny White, the ex-quarterback from Dallas.
No,
Larry in Fort Myers, no. Who else is going to contact him in the Power 5 conferences?
But that's the thing, is if you're looking for a home-and-home, if you're UCF and you're looking for a home-and-home with a big boy, you are not going to get it. So every year we can go into this same conversation. You didn't play anybody, and UCF fan can scream from the mountaintop, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not your fault? Because if he's turning down a 2-1 with Florida, what else has he turned down?
That's what
What's
I mean?
That 2022 schedule again? Who are the non-conference? South Florida, it would be
Florida State.
And Florida State?
Yep. Right now, the non-conference for the Gators in 2022 is USF at the Swamp and Florida State at Doak Campbell in Tallahassee. You could have added UCF to that.
You win those games, you're in. You're in.
If you lose them, I understand. If you're an alum there, unless you're really, you got to be upset. You got to be. If you're a current student or somebody, or an alum, and you're saying you got an opportunity to play Florida.
Now, with that being said,
3 years in a row minimum, and once at our place, and you turn it down because of
you
what?
You think about what your non-conference could have been in 2022. UCF already has Louisville and Georgia Tech on the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got 2 ACCs. You throw in an SEC on the road. You get one more decent opponent.
They got Stanford, right, too, next year?
Next year, their non-conference is scheduled next year. I'm jumping ahead to 2022. Yeah.
That 2022 schedule, that's pretty rough. That's a rough schedule. That
Louisville,
is.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
You could have had Florida on there.
Yeah. And you got Florida State and South Florida.
But my point is, if that's your non-conference, your conference almost doesn't mean anything at that. I mean, if you can win those games, you have now shut people like me up.
Right.
The person who says you don't play anybody.
Wow.
Now,
that's a respectable schedule by anybody's standards.
Is this some sort of payback from Danny White, maybe, because he thinks, along with some fans, they thought the Gators were ducking them in the Peach Bowl, which I don't believe was the case.
I don't know. I think there are too many people.
They're playing Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing Michigan. I don't think they're ducking anybody.
I don't either.
I don't buy that.
What? Well, how many people are in control of where Florida goes to play the bowl?
I don't want to say ducking, but come on.
They influence the.
How many times have we seen Michigan, Florida? Now this will be the third time, I believe, in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Miami, Wisconsin, the Yankee Stadium either. That's
right. It was the season opener last year, and then they played in the Outback Bowl or one of those in the state of Florida a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there was a little bit of hey. We don't really want to play these guys.
Okay.
But then again, there's the AD for UF saying, let's do it.
Yep. I don't understand it. Danny White, you need to swallow your pride a little. I mean, it's not even pride. Just do the right thing. It's logical.
It seems to me there's less risk for Florida to agree to wink, wink, and play Central Florida in a bowl game, and you lose. Okay, so you lost a bowl game. We move on. I think there's more risk in scheduling them and losing a regular season game because that screws up your chances of getting into a playoff the next year. So I wouldn't shy away from Central Florida in a bowl game if that's what's really happened here. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Jimmy in Naples. You're out with Shima to Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. To be honest, in looking at this UF-UCF thing, well, you guys are saying that UCF fans should be mad that they're not accepting it. It's all over social media. UCF fans are absolutely blowing their chest out and pounding their chest saying how what a crappy deal it is and how disrespectful it is for Stripling to be offering this, and there's no way Danny White should be accepting it.
Really?
I mean, I think that Danny White is looking into this, and he's feeding into his fans a little too much. You know what I mean? Saying, I absolutely agree with saying, oh, this is disrespectful. I mean, come on. Like you guys are saying, I mean, Scott has no, there's no gain for UF out of this. He's literally saying, all right, you guys want it? Here's your shot. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you look at Twitter and go ahead and put UCF, UF in there and look at the absolute just craziness these UCF fans are spewing on Twitter. And right now, you're probably going to get some calls right after me saying, oh, this guy. Yeah, I'm a UF fan.
Yeah.
These UCF fans, I get it. You guys have had two good years. All right. I understand that completely. Congratulations. But if a team like UF wants to come in, and you guys have been told, like you said already, this you need to bolster your strength of schedule, and if UF says let's do it, have to jump on that.
Yeah, I agree. Jimmy, hey, yeah, Jimmy, your phone's kind of waving out, a little bit, but you make a great point, and it leads me to this other text at 239. Does anybody out there think that Central Florida likes where they're at? They like to be in the argument. They like all the exposure they're getting, 13-0 playing nobody. What if Central Florida goes 9-4 and nobody's talking about them?
Yeah.
Is that worse for Central Florida? I mean, right now, they're getting a lot of publicity for the last 2 years straight.
And if there's alum, like this guy was saying, I'm sure they're out there. If there's people out thumping their chest, you shouldn't be thumping your chest, UCF fans. You should be upset that you're not going to be able to play one of the premier programs in the country in the University of Florida. And what's Nick Saban going to come knocking on your door? What if Nick Saban said, okay, UCF, we'll play you 4 years in a row at our place?
You take it.
You take it in a heartbeat.
I wanted to look at Boise State's schedule because I think that they're very comparable. Small, not in the Power 5 conferences, but very good football teams.
Yep.
They have a 2-for-1 with Florida State over the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do.
So if you're Boise State and you can take that with FSU, why can't UCF take that with UF? Mm-hmm. Get out of here about the respect card. Respect has nothing to do with this. This is about getting your team in the college football playoff. And if you're serious about this, Danny White, you take the 2-for-1.
Absolutely.
If not, keep claiming your fake national championships.
Right. You're the only school that has the right to ask for a 1-for-1 is a comparable Power 5 school non-conference. You know, if an ACC and an SEC school want to play and they do a 1-1 or two games on a neutral site, they're on the same level for that.
And if Miami comes to call and says, we'll play it 3 times in a row at the Rock, then you go 3 times in a row there.
That's what you do.
You have to. What other Power 5, what AD is going to come knocking on your door over the next
Toledo took a 2-for-1 with Miami.
Yes. That's what you do.
That's what you have to do when you're not in a Power 5 conference.
Let's go back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Paul in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing? I think that they know that if they step up in competition, then the fantasy's over. And to make it even worse, to ruin the fantasy in Florida.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not taking it.
I think you might be right.
I don't know. I don't know. Because if they have a good game and beat LSU, it's going to make them even look worse that they won't play Florida. I don't know. I think this is Danny White's ego getting in the way. That's what I think this is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anything more than that. He thinks either he feels like they ducked him for the bowl game this year, the Peach Bowl, or, oh, yeah, you don't want to play us in the Peach Bowl. We're not playing you twice. And then I don't care if you're going to throw us a bone and play once at our place. I think it's childish. I think it's foolish. And I don't think it's good for the program. And you tell me who's going to come knocking on his door. How else are you going to do this?
Thank you, Paul. Good call.
You're not UCF. understand something here. You don't have leverage. You don't.
That's been my point throughout this whole thing, is when we talk about like these cupcake schools and why doesn't Alabama go and schedule UCF? Because it's an argument Pete and I have had probably four times this season. It's what's in it for Alabama? Why should Alabama go to Orlando? This is Florida, who's on that same level, saying, yeah, we'll go to Orlando. We'll All you need to do is come to us twice.
Yeah.
And my whole contention is with the SEC is I don't schedule FCS games. That's all. Play New Mexico if you have. I don't care if you play the bottom of the belt. Play Georgia Southern. Don't schedule the Citadel and these nut job teams.
This is Florida trying not to.
I know. That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Let's give them some credit. Let's go to Jeff in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard.
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
I'm good. I don't know a ton about college football. More of an NFL guy, but I agree. What if UCF is? I understand what you just said, Pete. That they're not. They don't have leverage. What if they are using this for recruiting leverage, at, in hopes that by the time that 2022 schedule or whatever you guys were talking about, by the time that comes around, then they have a big enough hammer to hit Georgia where it counts. And as of right now,
yeah, but
they
Jeff,
don't exactly
though, how do they
want
do
to take them right now?
But you got to schedule it.
Why
now.
Is Georgia AD going to look at this situation, or anybody else in the SEC, or any of the Power Fives, and go, huh? You might be right, Jeff, as far as recruiting goes, but what AD from what conference is going to come and knock it and offer a better deal than that? You're not going to. You're not going to get one.
And the other problem. And the other problem is you got to schedule the 2022 games now. They do these 4 and 5 years in advance, so you can't really lay low and hope your recruits are better.
And I don't care if he's talking about UCLA, Texas, you know, or any of the Oklahoma. I don't care who it is.
But I think he brings up a good point. I would argue that taking the 2-for-1 with Florida helps you, because who is UCF recruiting?
Yeah.
UCF is recruiting the next crop of player in the state of Florida. The kid that isn't getting the offer from Florida, Florida State, Miami.
Yep.
So for you to be able to sit in one of these kids' living rooms and say, listen, those Gators, those bleep holes, they scorned you. You're good enough to play for them. Guess what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you go into the swamp and show them that they should have recruited you.
And not just once. Repeatedly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I can argue that this is a huge recruiting advantage, because guess who's going into their to living rooms and saying, you're going to get to go to play at the Swamp? Yeah. USF, yeah. Your rival. I'm just saying, man. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to schedule the 2-for-1. I don't understand the thought process in turning it down.
I think it's a gift.
It is
a gift. Thank you, Strickland. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you. May I have another?
Thank you. No one else is willing to even pick up the phone in a Power Five and offer us. You gave us a home game.
You gave us 3 years of a quality opponent.
Yep.
We don't have to be good 3 years. We got to be good for one of those years. We got to be better than you for one of those years. And we're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is all ego to me. This is all ego. And if you're a UCF current student or an alum and you're in favor of this, you're out of your mind.
I've talked to two today that have said the same thing.
Yeah.
Said the same thing, that this is a crap deal that Florida's offering us and we shouldn't take this deal.
Really?
You know what I told both of them? Then you can continue to play in your nice bowl games, but you're never getting to the college football playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, keep dreaming. I mean, seriously, you got to take this. Now, maybe once you get beyond 2022, you don't have to take it. But right now, the storyline is you got to take this deal.
I mean, look at Boise. Boise is still taking 2-for-1s. Why? Because they know they have to have a Florida State on their schedule. They have to have a Washington on their schedule. They have to do these sorts of things. And that's why Boise, who's been doing this a lot longer than you have, UCF. They've been playing at big boy level for
they beat Oklahoma
15 years
yeah,
now.
I know you beat Auburn, but they beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, that was a gigantic.
Well, my point, they did that so long ago, and they're still taking these 2-for-1 deals because they understand the landscape. And even if you lose a close game to a Florida State or a Florida UCF, it gives you more credit than beating Samford.
Yeah.
And that's why back in the day, I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Even Miami in their heydays, they would play anybody, anywhere, anytime. They go to Colorado. They go to BYU. Anywhere. Any place on the, anywhere it took. They didn't care because they were like, we are the best team in the country. You prove you can beat us. It was fantastic. Now, they didn't win all the time, but still, they were never afraid. That was when they were at the peak. We'll come. We'll come to your place. Sure. Great.
I just don't.
This is a disaster. I think this is bad for UCF.
I don't understand the thought process on it.
It's ego,
I really
Chris.
Don't.
It's ego. Don't it's nothing more than gigantic ego. That's it.
They're not there yet.
And
they're
you're not there yet. You can't turn down that. You don't have any leverage, Danny White. You don't. All right, good. Go. So,
by the way, if they do beat LSU and go 13-0 again, are they going to do the whole national championship thing?
Of course they will. Yeah, they
will. Of course. I'm looking right now, and just who does Florida have a home and home with in the future? They've got a neutral site against Miami. They open up against the Canes next season in Orlando.
Finally.
So a true neutral site game.
Yeah. That's another game that should be yearly, too. They should get back to doing that.
They got three pay games and then Florida State in 2020, 2021.
So they open up in Orlando
next year. Yeah, the Gators open up against the Canes in Orlando.
Not at the Bounce House, though. Not at their place.
No, it'd be at the Camping World.
Okay, yeah.
Stadium, whatever they call it now. And those are the only home and that's the only Power 5 non-conference game that the Gators have scheduled except for Florida State, which is set in every single year. I don't know. I mean,
if Kentucky came calling, would you turn them down too? Would you? I mean,
shouldn't.
Well, if you're turning down a 2-for-1 with Florida, absolutely you're turning down a 2-for-1 with Kentucky. Right.
I don't care if it's Arkansas. You take it.
I agree.
It doesn't matter.
I don't understand the thought process.
Take Vanderbilt.
Yes.
You take Missouri.
You take anybody in the Power Fives that offers you a deal that way.
Yeah.
How else are you going to build up your program? All right, go have fun. Schedule Northern Illinois. Have fun with that.
All right, 239-337 ESPN if you want to jump all over that. Coming back, we'll continue this discussion, but I also like to get into last night's football game. The Eagles, Nick Foles is the magic back, and Jared Goff is playing like Jeff Fisher, Jared Goff, the last 3 weeks. Why? We shall discuss when we come back. And later on this hour, going to give away some tickets to the City of Palms Classic Basketball Tournament. We're going to be broadcasting from there Friday. So you can go check them out later on this week. Got some free tickets right around the corner. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN on a Monday.
Bobby Brown.
That's right.
My prerogative.
Yep.
Good tune back
what
in the
day. What a tool
day.
He is. Girlfriend / wife beater.
Got Whitney hooked on drugs.
Wow, really? Making my song selection.
The song is still good.
I love the song. The
song is still good.
Let's talk about something uplifting, like the Patriots dynasty coming to an end.
Yes! It's over!
You can make up stuff. Go ahead.
330 million people can see it, except for one.
They haven't lost back-to-back games in December, over 10,000 days?
Crumbling.
Finally happened.
Go nine. It's been a while.
Finally happened.
Who we got next?
It's been a while.
Jets.
Jets.
No, Bills. Bills next, then Jets.
Yeah.
I could wish for three in a row, but that probably won't happen.
All right. They don't look terrible on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
They pushed with the Texans, but I thought the Texans could have kicked a field goal as time ran out and would have covered, but that's neither here nor there.
Speaking of covering, our pigskin picks, we all took different paths to get there, but we all went 3-3 this weekend, and we've all picked the Saints to cover tonight against Carolina.
So nothing changed.
Nothing changes. My lead remains comfortable.
I'm just going to show you guys right now. Oh, it's not the I had the Colts. I scratched it out.
Yeah.
I had Dallas and Indy.
I tell you, I had the Cowboys and I scratched it out and I took Indy. I mean, that was
okay.
A weird we all said that was going to be a weird.
I scratched out Chicago and took Green Bay at the last on the fly.
Well, I was trying to get an extra game right there, but I guess not.
No can do. Go back to the tapes. So, last night I watched a lot of the Eagles win over the Rams 30-23. I mean, the Eagles have looked dead for some time. Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it.
But they were inspired by the Cowboy loss, I told you.
Yeah.
That was a big factor.
No, they got the better quarterback under center finally.
That might be the case.
Okay, only in the latter half of the season, because Nick Foles looked awful in the preseason and the first couple weeks while we waited for Carson Wentz to
come back.
St. Nick doesn't show himself until the calendar turns to December. Everybody knows this.
All right.
But what did we talk about with the Eagles, that stat I gave you, when they run the ball 25-plus times, they're undefeated this year, and that's what they did last night. The Smallwood, Adams, you know, that was 25 carries right there. They just got back to doing what they do. It was just a more fluid offense. And you throw in Goff, who looks like
me.
He looked terrible.
Well, let's take a listen. We got a highlight of that, Chris. I think Brandon Graham, the interception off of Goff in the third period on NBC.
Third and one. Goff trips, picks the ball up, and then loses the ball. And Woods is going to save what might have been a touchdown because it's Graham who comes up with it. So Goff tried to flip it away, and it costs him. And the Eagles got a gigantic turnover.
That was one of the worst-looking plays I've ever seen.
That and Tannehill against the Bengals this year, the two worst throws in the NFL this season.
It looked like Gary, your premium, the kicker.
In the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Afterwards, Sean McVay says it's very frustrating. Frustrations are starting to mount after the second straight loss. Don't have it.
It's guys that are making decisions that, you know,
volume
typically we haven't seen. It's guys that are making mistakes that we typically haven't seen. But however you cut it, we're all in this together. We've all got to do better. And, you know, it starts with me, but, you know, we got to figure it out. And, you know, that's that. All I know how to do is go back to work as hard as we possibly can to figure out the solutions and get better for next week. But this wasn't good enough. And, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow.
I think the league is starting to figure Jared Goff out a little bit. That's my the last 3 weeks. You compare all the quarterbacks, all 32 quarterbacks in the league. He's last. Quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
Last. Yep. I mean, not near the bottom. He's last.
There's, and I'll give credit to Golic and Wingo listening to them this morning. Or was it Levitard? It was one of the shows. But we saw it last. I mean, where is Todd Gurley?
Can I say something about Todd Gurley?
Last week we said the same thing. We said the same thing last week.
He was handed the ball 12 times last night. I mean, that guy needs to touch the ball 6-7 times a quarter.
But I will say this about Todd Gurley, because this is the third time he's done something like this year. Todd Gurley apparently does not understand clock management. Todd Gurley, a month and a half ago against the Packers, where he foiled everybody in fantasy football and decided to forego a touchdown.
There was fantasy, there was a spread, there was a total fantasy on the line.
And decided to burn more clock. Now, that was not a bad play.
Thanks for bringing that back
up. Well, I'm gonna follow through. I'm gonna pay this off for you. So he did that, and he received all this praise for being such a smart player, whatever. Then he did it against the Lions when it made no sense at all, and he should have gone in for the touchdown. So he didn't understand that situation. And then last night, tried to cut it in to get one more yard instead of going out of bounds. He cost them an extra play. Mm-hmm. They only had that one play left with 4 seconds to go. They could have had two shots at the end zone with 11 seconds to go had he gotten his big rear end out of bounds. He doesn't understand clock management.
Yep, it was not a good look. I mean, again, catching the ball in the backfield, he had 76 yards on 10 receptions. But, you're absolutely right, Craig. And he should know better at this stage. And the guy's a stud.
Yeah,
but it just goes to show. Once again, though, the playoffs to me are wide open. I mean, I had Houston and New Orleans at the beginning of the season, but this Ram team now has come back down to earth here, and they still have the second seed, but they're only a game ahead of the Bears.
What if the Saints lay an egg tonight in Carolina against a desperate Panthers team? Who's the hot team in the NFC with 2 weeks to go?
The Bears.
I think you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Bears. After what Dallas did yesterday?
Yes.
But the hot team can, you know, Dallas was scorching, right?
Yeah. Right.
Right up until they scored no points on Sunday.
The Cowboys haven't scored in 2 weeks.
At one point, the NFC East was 0 for anything yesterday. Between the Giants getting blanked and the Cowboys getting blanked, no one had scored in the NFC East until Washington and Jacksonville, and that was ugly.
Well, I will say that Gurley did get 10 catches yesterday, so maybe they're just trying to go about it a different way, but it doesn't feel like they're using him enough. And I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if they're like,
he was hurt last night.
We're gonna save this for the playoffs because we know we're going to have to go into New Orleans most likely.
Yeah.
That's going to be the game to get us to the Super Bowl. We want to save number 30, which is fine.
Well, Michelle Tafoya did say they were looking at his knee. He was on the sideline for part of the game. He wasn't out there. They went with their backup, who I can't, his name escapes me. And he was kind of just smiling there on the sideline with his helmet on, not playing.
You talking about Gurley's backup?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. What?
There was significant time in the second half where Gurley was not on the field.
Yeah.
They were looking at his knee. So maybe he isn't healthy and they don't want to run him as much.
Woods, I mean, you look at the other, is it John Kelly?
Kelly.
Because he had 2 for 4.
Yeah.
With a lung of 5.
And then you had
That work?
Yeah, Davis is what, Justin Davis, too. But,
then when did the Marcus Peters explosion happen with the fans? When did that take place?
I don't know. I don't know who the fan was.
I just saw him go into the stands, which is dangerous.
During
the game.
Not good. He'll be fine.
During the game. Not a good look at all. I just don't know why you let. Well, you can't let that stuff. You're risking everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're risking everything over words. Over words that from some knucklehead drunk fan.
And I didn't hear what the fan said.
I don't think it was racial or anything. They called him a punk or something. I think it was whatever it was. It was just
Peters made
walk
it racial.
Away.
Peters dropped away. One.
Oh, a few.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely did. But now you start looking at the playoff picture all the way around, and it's going to be a dogfight. There is, you know, I've seen the Packers as a 6 seed go to the Super Bowl and win it. The Cardinals almost did it, you know, 1 year as well, losing to the Steelers at the last second on a great throw.
I mean, how many teams in the NFC do we think can get to the Super Bowl?
5?
Okay, Saints, Rams, Bears. Who's the other two?
I don't know if the Bears can unless they have home field throughout.
Oh, we were just saying that they're probably the hottest team in the NFC right now, right?
I would have said Seahawks before last week. Maybe it's 4.
You go Cowboys?
I don't know anymore.
You go Vikings?
I don't think the Vikings can make it.
If the Vikings run game is fixed, don't you have to say, oh, okay. They got to the NFC Championship game last year with a pretty good run game.
We'll find out because they're at Detroit next week.
Well, that's a win.
And then their last game is home against the Bears. Huge contest. And Philly's got a big game this week at Houston.
I mean, the Vikings right now, they're still below, aren't they below 500? Aren't they like 6-7-1 or something ridiculous like that?
And I know we're all talking about the last playoff spot in the AFC between Baltimore, Indy, and Tennessee after the Dolphins thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at me. Does anybody want to see Cleveland?
I do.
No.
Well,
I want to see him as a fan, but
I do.
You want to play them?
Oh, no, not now, but you're right. No one's going to play them.
They got add 2 wins to their record because that's really what they're
Cincinnati.
You
and
are at, what your record is. Add 2 wins.
They're 4-1 in their last 5.
Yeah, they got so much attitude.
They're home against Cincinnati and they should beat them. And then at Baltimore, which could be a playoff berth on the line, or they play spoiler for the Ravens, depending if Philadelphia can win at home against Houston. It's all about me. Then the Patriots go back into the second seed. But still, we told you this, the crazy scenario, how the Browns can make the playoffs, and they're still in it.
They're still fun to watch.
At 8-7-1, if they win the next 2 at home against Cincinnati and at Baltimore, they could get in, but they need a lot of help.
I get it. It's a long shot for them. Yeah. But, man, going into next year.
Yeah. They got to be looking good.
Like, that division looks. It's reshaped itself in the second half of this season to where you look at Cleveland and Baltimore with those quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, they got a puncher's shot in any game.
Absolutely.
Puncher's chance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you meant. and they're just so entertaining to watch. It used to be if Red Zone Channel flipped over to a Browns game, that's when I go get a beer.
But
now they're must-see TV.
I watched start to finish Saturday night. Did not turn the dial at all. And that was a great game.
I mean, the chip on Baker Mayfield's shoulder. I mean, I love it. And I was not Williams fan before, but I think he kind of works with this group.
How does he not get that job?
Got to get it.
Seriously,
Bruce Arians, you're not getting.
If they go somewhere else, John Dorsey's going to have to answer some questions. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That team has done a 180. I never thought coaching's important. I never thought it was this important.
Oh, I think it's extremely important.
You look at how bad Hugh Jackson was.
In football, it is.
This is
oh my goodness.
Important. This exposes if you didn't at 1-31. If you didn't think Hugh Jackson was a bad football coach, now you know Hugh Jackson was a bad football coach. Fact.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't anybody ever hire him again. Get rid of him. I know he's hanging out earning a paycheck right now with Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati, but that'll be broomed out pretty soon,
that
too.
That Washington-Philadelphia game could mean the final playoff spot as well at the end of the season if the Vikings should stumble again.
Hey, watch out if Philly squeeze.
Because if Vikings stumble their last game, I'm going to assume they're going to win in Detroit, but I shouldn't even make that assumption.
You should. No, you should.
I'm not going to.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm not going to.
I want
to.
Matt Patricia firing more F-bombs on live radio in Detroit.
So that's what it was after on a local radio station, their flagship. We just went
it was on the flagship, yeah.
On the flagship after post game, and just swore up a storm.
Lomas Brown is going to coach. What's going on? We got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to blanking do something better. And he dropped the F bomb right there. Martha Ford is not going to be happy.
Going to stop Josh Allen on 4th and 1 with 1:48 to go, not get a 2-yard sneak.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
We all knew it was coming.
Except, man, oh man,
it's rough.
This is gonna be great. This is as exciting a season. I don't care who you are a fan of, because I think it is absolutely wide open. Wide open.
Well, unless you're a Lions or Dolphin, it's not that exciting.
Well, Dolphins are still in it.
Yeah, I'm reading the 5 chances that they still have.
Yeah.
One of them is the Dolphins could still win the AFC East. Mm-hmm. So now let's go to the 4 ways that the Dolphins could get
in
the playoffs.
That's on.
The Dolphins would need to beat Jacksonville and Buffalo in the final 2 weeks. The Chargers would need to beat the Ravens on Saturday night. Washington would have to beat Tennessee. Tennessee would then have to beat the Colts in Week 17. Mm. That's the most realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Chip and a chair, as they say. Chip and a chair.
Or saying there's a chance. Dolphins have to win out. Colts, Titans, and Ravens lose in Week 16. Then the Ravens and Titans win in Week 17. In that scenario, the Dolphins would win a 3-team tiebreaker over Baltimore and Tennessee. There's also a scenario where the 3 teams ahead of them, the Titans, the Colts, and the Ravens, tie their last 2 games.
I like it.
Hey, ties in the NFL this
year.
Come
on, there have been 2.
Those ties are going to screw something up in the last week. You watch. All right, coming up, we've got the Obscure Sports Minute. Going to give away some tickets to the City of Palms Basketball Classic. That's right around the corner. And then we're going to fire up some more NFL talk. I mean, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface on Week 15. It's been a fascinating week. More Dolphins crying. More Patriots crying.
Patriots crying?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris and I have an announcement to make.
Listen to me now.
Your Patriots have lost 2 in a row in December.
The world's going to end. I know.
No, just the Patriots world.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
The Flyers have fired head coach Dave Hextall. The team announced today he was in his 4th year with the club. He's the 5th NHL coach to be fired this season.
Tough sledding.
It's pretty early, too, huh?
Yeah.
Scott Gordon, the coach of the Flyers AHL affiliate, will take over as interim head coach. Sweet. The Everblades, they had 2 games over the weekend. Saturday, they extended their win streak to 6. They beat the Swamp Rabbits of Greenville 4-2. They then turned around and lost to the Jacksonville Icemen on Saturday 4-2. They're back in action on Thursday night. They are at Orlando. And today we have the UEFA Champions League round of 16 draw. Pretty exciting stuff, right, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Manchester United is going to play a home and home with PSG. Woo. Liverpool gets Bayern Munich. Atletico Madrid against Juventus. Tottenham plays Borussia Dortmund. Schalke gets Man City. Barcelona plays Lyon, Roma gets Porto, and Real Madrid look to defend their 3rd UEFA Champions League title against Ajax. They're from the Netherlands.
Ajax?
Yeah,
how do you spell that?
It's a soft J.
Oh. Oh, there's a J in there?
A-J-A-X.
It's Ajax. It's a cleaning thing. You scrub it on.
It's Dutch.
Oh.
Oh, God.
All right, so you got everybody all hopeful there, Chris, all Dolphins. So the Dolphins win out and the Patriots lose out. Dolphins win. Dolphins own all these tiebreakers. Could be some interesting scenarios. It's not lost.
They win a 4-game tiebreaker over the Ravens, Colts, and Titans, but they lose 3 team tiebreakers. It's very confusing.
Yeah. It's confusing.
What helps them, though, is have a good division record.
Yep,
and they have a good conference record.
You know what helps when you beat the Patriots head to head? That will help you.
Boom.
Boom. Yes,
it does.
Drop the mic.
The just real quick college note, too, the rest of the because National Signing Day starts Wednesday and goes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But remember, last year was
the early period. The early signing
period. Are the Hurricanes going to keep anybody?
They're hemorrhaging. Look good.
They're hemorrhaging. I'll tell you
who's kicking butt in their 2019 class ranking is second is Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M.
Jimbo.
Watch for them on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we'll see you last
year. I think Dan Mullen will also have a sneaky good recruiting class. Yeah. That's going to get turned around quickly at the Swamp.
Haven't heard a peep about Georgia, and they dominated this last year.
Yeah, we were talking to the Georgia Invitational.
Can't keep signing five-star guys.
Yeah.
Got to take a year off.
There's only five offensive linemen. If you sign five of them, there you go.
You got to wonder how Michigan is, how the possibility, and it still is at Harbaugh leaves. I don't care what they're saying. There's going to be offers out there. You got to wonder if a kid, a big-time recruit, is thinking in the back of their mind,
chance? And I think a lot of that last week was Chris Carter and Ohio State people putting that out there to hurt Jim Harbaugh.
No, but it wasn't.
Well, no, I think they did. I mean, whether you think it was an overwhelming factor, I mean, they did do that. I mean, that was a fact. They were out spewing all that.
Well, I think but I also think the Ross connection is a legitimate one. And they have to say everything now that he's not going anywhere, but we'll get into it more.
All right, we got some City of Palms Classic tickets. We're going to be broadcasting our show from there on Friday. Chris, what do we got? Four tickets? Two tickets? What do we got?
Two.
Two for Thursday?
Hold on.
Day four?
Two for day three. What's the 19th? Wednesday.
Two for Wednesday, City of Palms Classic, caller number 9-239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. More NFL chit-chat right around the corner. Stay with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.